Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce my new Chief of Staff, Matt McCartan. Matt McCartan comes to us from a distinguished career of service to the union movement and to progressive causes. Matt is one of the country's preeminent political strategists on the left-hand side of politics, and he will bring a great deal of enthusiasm, skill and commitment to his role as the Labour Chief of Staff. The position is one of coordinating my office. I'm also happy to be announcing today the appointment of David Talbot as our campaign manager, and Matt, David joins us from UMR Research, from which he will be on leave, and the combination of the two of these gentlemen will be an awesome team working together for the 2014 election. Can I say that this is an important opportunity for us to reflect our values, that we are in this race to bring to New Zealanders an opportunity for a better tomorrow, for the kids to have a better future, for the parents to feel more secure about the future of their children. And Matt McCartan's lifetime of service to the cause of working people and the underprivileged is taking a new step forward today as he becomes the Chief of Staff in my office as leader of the Labour Party. I'd like to invite Matt to say a few words, and then we'd be happy to take your questions.
Thank you, David. Well, nice to be here. As most of you know, I've been 10 years now sort of working for low-paid workers, and as it always is that the rules and the governments, they matter to our people. That it is a struggle for those at the bottom. I have been, I've enjoyed that role. It's my life's work. In recent times, when David Cunliffe as the new leader of the Labour Party, I think he's given a lot of our people hope about what can be done. I have been pleasantly surprised of what he, the direction he has taken the party in. I've been pleasantly surprised. The people who appoints on this front bench, and he makes his decisions on merit. We have got to know each other really well in recent weeks. We haven't known each other, which is surprising, and the chemistry has been extraordinary. And we have a lot of similar beliefs, and I just thought this man could be the Prime Minister and should be the Prime Minister. And that anything I could do to help a Labour-led government under MMP, I will do. So David offered me this role, which was, I'm sort of a surprise to everybody. But then when people have thought about it, and I thought about it and say, well, it is a role that I think I can do well, I am committed to. I spoke with my union executive late last night. They were delighted to a person. They were proud of the achievements we have done in Unite. They feel that I can move on and do this role, and I will do it to the very best I can to fight for them in this arena, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you.
Mr. Cunliffe, philosophically, where do you think this puts the Labour Party, given that obviously Mr. McCartan is very left-wing, left-leaning?
Well, this is not a policy position, so it doesn't change Labour's policy stance.
Yeah, but it still sends a signal, doesn't it?
Well, Labour's, at least under my leadership, always been a progressive party, and nothing's changed about that.
Why have you held a news conference about this matter? I mean, it's an appointment of a staff, but that's not normally the case to actually hold a press conference.
There's been a little bit of discussion in the press about the changeover from our former Chief of Staff, who's had to go out for health reasons. Matt is a well-known personality in his own right, and we felt it was appropriate to be totally open with the country and with the press about this appointment.
Well, you put out a statement, as is the normal course.
We have put out a statement.
Yes, but I mean, again, I can't recall ever going to a press conference for the appointment of the Chief of Staff.
We wanted to give you the opportunity to ask questions, Brent.
Do you see Matt as a game changer?
Oh, well, I think Matt will add a lot to our team. Matt is, as I said, one of the country's best political strategists, and I think that will help us be more competitive in this race to bring New Zealanders a better tomorrow. But at the end of the day, this is all about them, not about us. This is about helping New Zealand children get what they need. It's about having a strong school system, a good health system. It's about there being jobs for every New Zealander who wants one. And it's about decent wages so that people can make ends meet. That is the project that Matt has signed on to and that I've always been committed to. And that's what the entire Labor Party will be working to bring to New Zealanders this year.
Do you think that can unite the caucus?
I think our caucus is already united. We are a united caucus, and we are on this track to win this election.
Is everyone on board with this appointment?
Yes, they are. Yes.
Did you speak to them all about?
With my senior team, we've rung around everybody and notified them and pre-briefed them on this announcement. Yes, and everybody's signed on.
Matt has been linked to a number of different parties. I mean, are you confident in his loyalty?
Absolutely confident in his loyalty. Matt has always served progressive causes which have had the interests of working New Zealanders and the underprivileged at heart, and this is part of that movement. Now, Matt, I think, might have a word or two to say about the situation he now finds himself in, but I believe there's a strong alignment of our values and our cause. Look, I'm not appointing a yes person. I'm appointing the very best person that an exhaustive search has identified for the role of my office coordinator and a senior strategy role. And I do not look for a sycophantic person in that role. I'm appointing on merit, and I think that reflects the confidence of our team.
So what's changed between now and 2012,
Matt? I think that... as I said earlier, I think that David, when he came in, I know this was a great surprise to some of you, I wasn't a great supporter of that. However, what I've been impressed at what he's been doing and the direction he's taken the party, if this had been the same party we had in 1989, we're going back with some of us in this room, I would never have left, and nor would have the Alliance many people didn't. And so I'm very comfortable and determined and committed to help to form a new government, to change this government.
So you're heading back to 1989?
Sorry? No, I went 1989 when I left the Labour Party.
And when you were last involved in politics here, though, you were in a party that had an absolute meltdown, and you were fronting that meltdown.
We were all part of it, and it wasn't the best place to be. You also got to understand I was the president of the party, you know, and this is a different role, and I do not have the conflicts of that a president has in representing a power party and managing a relationship in the caucus. And we, and those of us who went through it, it was a number of factors, but it was around on policy. And I think it was a challenge for everybody involved.
Is this a long-term proposition for you, or are you just taking it through the election?
One of the things which makes it easier, you serve at the pleasure of the leader. You know, I have made a long-term commitment. I will do the very best I can to the election and beyond, and whatever needs to be done, I'll do it.
How's your health, sir?
Very good. You know, I mean, as some of you know here, that I was diagnosed with cancer 4 years ago. It then moved to where I wasn't expected to live a few months, and for some reason, I'm still here, and I've got the all clear. And my Christian friends all told me it's because I have work to do, so unfinished business.
Do you believe that or not?
I believe there's unfinished business, yes.
The most recent party you've been involved with was Mana. Have you cut your ties with Mana?
I'm not a member of Mana. You know, I'm a supporter of Honnick's. I think that what he has done on occasions has been courageous, and I will always support those who stand up for what they believe in. I have only been a member of two parties in my life. One is the Labour Party, and then the NLP slash Alliance.
And so will you be pushing for Hone Harawira to join an alliance?
That is not a role that is part of his role. Those are decisions that we will make collectively and I will make as leader. And I've been very clear that those decisions will happen after the voters get their say through the ballot box.
And wait, in terms of your alliance to various different parties, Māori Party, Mana, what do you say to those people who might suggest that you are a waka jumper and question your loyalty?
My loyalty to the working class and Labour values, you know, to the movement, I'll put up against anyone, anytime. I fight for rights of people. I think that when the Māori Party was formed, I think it was a legitimate issue. I saw it a civil society. If people do any initiative which I think moves things forward, I will support. I have not been a member of any of those power parties. I support initiatives, and I will continue to do it. In this role, which I am committed to, is probably the most important role that someone in my place could have, and the trust that is given, and I intend to do everything I can to make sure there's a change of government which is progressive.
And what are the relationships within Labour? That will be something that you'll have to sort of play a role in. I mean, David Cummins says there's no issue there in terms of the unity, but there has to be a little bit of work still to be done. I mean, can you up to it?
I think Matt, if I can put words in his mouth, fully understands that an important part of the role of any Chief of Staff is to help to manage relationships across between the caucus and the Leader's Office staff, and I'm sure that Matt will be investing heavily in those relationships.
Well, Matt, what will you be doing then to sort out those factions and to...
Well, you know, I mean, I don't have an insight or knowledge of the caucus, of course. You know, I mean, you guys will have more knowledge of it than me. But what I do know about life, in terms of my life, in terms of campaigns and organisations I've helped build, is that when you have a common cause, then artificial divisions break down. What is important is you've got to get people very clear about the mission, whether it's a union or a movement or a campaign. Then most things, they tend to go away. When people don't have common cause, they tend to be navel gazers and they kind of look at all the problems. And so what I think we have to inspire in saying is always remember, it's not about us as individuals, it's about the values and the movement and the people who we wish to represent. And that's what it's about. And if you can get that through, the rest of it is not important.
And I would fully concur with that if I can, and just say that I think we've made enormous progress in that direction already, that the Labour Party is united because we want to bring to New Zealanders the opportunity that a progressive government would afford.
Matt, how do you see Labour sitting on the political spectrum?
The same place it
was
yesterday.
I'm asking, sorry.
Centre-left.
Sorry?
Centre-left.
Centre?
Left of centre.
So you're happy to represent a party going after the Senate?
I work for a union, I've got to deal with employees, and you get and you advance things as much as you can within that framework. If there's a progressive government of other power parties, you know, then you progress things along. That's what I do every day.
Matt, you say that David Cunliffe could be Prime Minister. Are you acknowledging that there's a big challenge in term polls?
I think it's evenly split. I think, you know, this polls go up and down. You know, it is a tight race. And what we have to do is convince the million people who didn't vote last time or haven't enrolled that they have a stake in the game. If we do that, then there will be a change of governance and it will be progressive. And that's the challenge. So if we do that well, this man here will be the Prime Minister late this year.
Some of your opponents and lobbyists and so on have highlighted some problems you've had with tax and the union. Have you discussed it with Mr. Cullen?
Yes, he has.
That's fair. I knew that was something I addressed. And I think I want to put in the context. So I never dealt with it well at the time because I was very ill. I'm very proud of Unite. We built it from nothing. You know, no one said it could happen. You know, we're the lowest paid, the most vulnerable workers who hadn't had a union in 10 to 20 years, and we actually went out to make a difference. I poured every cent of my money into it. None of the people who helped build this were paid a wage for nearly 5 years. We all did other jobs. Yes, we formed a company because you had legal old obligations like leases and so on and so on. Now, we got to a point, I got sick, and the momentum built up a bit. I then had to take a year off. Staff were still employed and mistakes were made as we kept going without our obligation. I regret that. When I had done a year, they then said the cancer, it looks like it's terminal. I was insured and the union had insured me right from day one so that if I was to die, that the debts would all be paid. I didn't anticipate that I would still be alive, and I don't mean that as a joke entirely. So that company, you know, it ended. It was legally the union owes no tax. However, we have a moral duty to do it, and we are doing that. We haven't paid it all off yet, but the union itself and the league has met all its obligations and taxes. We don't have any legal but as someone like me, we do have a moral one, and we intended to have paid off all our debts by the end of the year. The union itself is solvent, it is in surplus, and it is in good heart. But, you know, I wasn't anticipating of getting ill.
Changing the topic a little bit, with Jim Atherton running a campaign in Christchurch East and you coming in as chief of staff, is that the full circle of the alliance breakaway?
I've obviously had some good conversations with Jim in the context of Christchurch East, and more recently he's been part of this decision too, and he's going to leave the comment to us, but Jim is fully briefed and aware of the decision. He's been part of this process.
Was he very supportive of the appointment of that?
I'm going to leave Jim's comments to Jim. Jim has been fully part of this process. And Jim is also, I think, showing by his actions that he's coming home to Labour.
So, Matt, have you and Jim reconciled it?
You all know how we worked very closely together. I think the differences we had 10 years ago or 12 years ago were pretty profound. That Jim has supported the decision that David has made. There will be a relationship. Jim is the most formidable campaigner I think this country has seen. I served with him or under him for many years, 40 years in all, and we will work together on this campaign. We will.
David, how many chiefs of staff are they in opposition?
I'm not really the one to count that for you, Brooke. What I can say is that I've only had two, and the first one is not here for health reasons. But I am absolutely delighted to be able to welcome Matt. I think he's going to bring a lot to our team, and he's going to further the cause of giving New Zealanders the opportunities that they need.
Mr. McCann, what's your first piece of advice going to be to
Mr. Cummins? What's my first piece of advice? I've got lots of thoughts, but I think that by giving advice sort of to myself, I won't give them advice until I think about it more. How's that?
Okay, we're going to need to wrap this up fairly soon. One last question.
Genesis
thank you.
Genesis Energy, what do you think about that?
Oh, well, look, this is, I told you so, I'm afraid. On a market that is already saturated with electricity companies, where Mighty River and Meridian were two of the worst performing shares on the stock market last year, this government has now accepted defeat and signalled that it cannot get away the full 50%, and it will accept as little as 30% of a sell down. We would prefer none, because the reality is the government's going to basically have to pay people to take these shares off their hands, and that is tantamount to taking taxpayers' money and burning it.
Just another question on this. I don't know if you've seen the State Services video about the behaviour of public servants in election year. What do you think about that? Have you had a chance to see it?
I haven't seen it, so there's some homework for me.
What do you think about these guidelines being issued for basically?
Well, there's nothing new about there being guidelines for state servants in election year or any other time. There's a state service handbook which has some clear guidelines about that. Seeing it in living, glowing colour with stereo, well, maybe that'll help get the message across.
You think the government wants to get Genesis out of the way well before the election?
Oh, I think this is a sale which is entirely driven by ideology, and the timing of it is entirely driven by political convenience. New Zealanders, by a margin of 2-1, have told the government absolutely clearly they do not want any more assets sold. They do not want Genesis Energy in particular sold down. So for the government to proceed when it cannot meet its revenue targets, when it is having to bribe buyers to take the shares off its hands and burning taxpayers' value in the process, is about what taxpayers have come to expect.
But
sadly,
why isn't that reflected in a sum and support there for that one?
I think because some people are looking at the recent firming of economic growth, which has been entirely driven by dairy prices and insurance checks, and mistaking it for a sustainable recovery. This is a dairy and insurance-driven uptick, and it is no way a solution to the long-term issues facing this country. We could have a long discussion about that, but suffice to say this, in the year in which we are on a 20-year high of dairy prices, we're still not going to break even on our international accounts.
Just last question. David Cunliffe has said that Labor usually governs when it enjoys the support of the Māori vote. I mean, do you think that the Labor Party is doing enough thus far in terms of regaining that support? Or do you have any ideas on how to strengthen that?
It is a bit early for me to make an informed way, except to observe is that I know that Labor has been engaged in discussing what I think is quite talented sort of individuals to stand. I think that there is a mood in the Māori sense to swing to Labour, at least in the party vote. I think that at Ratna and up at Waitangitangi that Labour got a very good hear, and so I think they're on the rise and I think they will do extraordinarily well in the seats. I think the election of the Māori Party, I think that two seats they've already lost. I think it will be a contest in Wairiki, and we shall see.
Matt, if Labour loses this election, will you resign?
As I said, is that one of the less complicated things in my life now is that you know that I'm employed by the leader, and you know you make those decisions.
Thank you very much, everybody. We are over time and we've got some other stuff to do. So thank you very much. Yeah. Amongst many, thank you very much.
Cheers. Thanks.